Okay, world, it's your girl Malika X, and we are back with another week of Being Frank, the podcast, where you can be bold, honest, and unmistakable. As always, I have something special for y'all, so stay tuned and keep listening. If you have questions, you can always send them over to social@beingfrankmedia.com. That's social@beingfrankmedia.com. With that, let's kick off the show. So we are back with another week, and I have to be honest with everyone, it was tough getting the content ready this week. I am in the process of moving. I believe I dropped that hint throughout a couple different podcasts. Your girl is leaving Charleston and heading up to Charlotte next week. Officially, I will have a new residence in Charlotte, North Carolina. I closed on a house. It's almost been a month. Did I say that on the podcast? But I bought a house. And now I'm in the process of packing and getting ready for the movers to come and get my shit. And I just haven't really been able to focus and be creative and get the work done that's needed for the podcast. So I just had to hunker down today and be focused, write up a little outline like I always do. It's been some things that I wanted to talk about, but last week I just felt like it was so many things in the universe that was just coming to me naturally, and I didn't even have to think about what I was going to do. But this week, it's been a little daunting, to say the least. I'm not even going to lie. Just because I have so much on my plate with the move and just packing, getting the house ready, and just shit that you have to go through when you purchase a new home. And I'm still living in my old townhouse here in Charleston, and I go to work every day. So, I mean, I'm not complaining, because you know how I'm saved to say it, right? This is episode 3 of Saved to Say It, and I just want to thank everybody for being back for another week. I do want to tell you guys up front, I am going to take a break next week. It'll be holiday week, and you know, I just said I'm moving this weekend. So it's going to be difficult to produce for next Sunday, but I will be back in 2 weeks. So everybody, enjoy your holiday. If I don't remember to say that at the end of the show, I just want to take a break and take some time so that me and my baby can get into the new house. And I'm on vacation for that week, and we're just going to take some time to be together, and I'm not going to work at all, even with my own personal stuff, with my podcast. I'm just putting everything down to focus on her and focus on being in our new space and enjoying one another together. Because this is going to be our first time, y'all, long distance coming together. Pray for us, because you know, when you get in the same household, things change, but I'm not going to speak that. We're going to have a great relationship, and this is only the beginning. So welcome back to Save to Say It here at Being Frank, the podcast. It's funny, we are already at episode 3 of this series, and I've been tweaking a couple things along the way, just trying to find my niche with the podcast and being able to just be relevant and always up in the know with everything that's going on, because things constantly change day to day. And some things are worth saying and some shit is just not even worth repeating, because we know we living in a different America right now. I'm gonna just leave it at that. So let's roll into the first segment of Righting My Wrongs. I added this last week, and child, I already done fucked up again. in last week's episode. And it's like some people, they don't tell me I fuck up because they don't catch it. But when I listen back, I'm like probably my worst critic. And I noticed that I was trying to give like some advice on my little book study and how I get these different books during the summer. I have my little book list, and that's just something I do. But I'm reading this book, Good to Great, and I said the title was From Good to Great, but it's actually just Good to Great. That was the first thing. And then the second thing, I said it was by John Collins. So for all of you that are out there that are looking to find this book, if you are interested, the author is not John Collins, first of all. His name is Jim Collins. So it was a slip up on my part, just not having the book in front of me. It is one of my summer reads, but it was on my nightstand and I was downstairs recording yesterday. So just a little small thing, but you know, I wanted to make sure that I got that right. So that if anyone was interested, you know, they could go out and find the book for themselves. And it's a really good book about the process, like I said, that takes place in studying what you really have to do to go from being good to great, in business, in life, in, you know, whatever career path you're on, or just your personal journey. I think it can be applied to any of that. So that's why I picked up the book, just for my personal journey. But if you're a small business owner, or, you know, you are looking for just ways to just up your ante in whatever venture you're doing, hey, that might be a good book for you. It's just about making good choices and how your choices are a direct reflection of your outcomes. Of course, we should all know that, but some of us don't make those good choices, and then we end up with shit in front of us and we say, how did that happen? It's all about our choices. So not just making good choices, but great choices for yourself. And I'm a planner, so child, y'all know this is me all day. This is the type of shit that I like to read. That's me. And that I'm shocked that was like the only thing I picked up on. Now, if y'all picked up on something else, let your girl know by sending your questions in, just so that I can right my wrongs each week. Because the last thing I want to do is to be misinforming my audience. The other thing that I wanted to mention this week under this segment with Righting My Wrongs, I mentioned three really profound people in politics last week, like young politicians, and they're not all like in the like in the political or holding a political what can I say? Holding a political position right now, but that doesn't mean that they didn't once hold one. And if you hear anything, someone asked me, well, who, you know, because I said, well, look them up. And, you know, sometimes I'm a teacher. I should just be educating as well as informing, because not everybody's going to stop to look these people up. So some people already knew who Angela Rye is because she makes a lot of noise out there on social media. We follow her, but she's an attorney. And one thing that people may not know about her is that she is on the board for the Congressional Black Caucus, and they hold an institute every year, which I would love, love, love to go to. I was saying that last year when I heard about everybody going to the Congressional Black Caucus. I was like, man, now that is a bucket list item for Malika. I'm a nerd like that. I want to go to the Congressional Black Caucus Institute and spend some time doing different workshops and hearing from different political, I would just say candidates and different progressive people out there that's in the movement that has my opinions or, you know, issues at their heart, and they're pushing those, or they know candidates that are pushing those interests and issues that are important to me. So I would love to go there one year. If anybody just want to sponsor a nigga, instead of sending me on trips or buy me a bag, child, send me to the Congressional Black Caucus Institute. That's what I want to do. That's the type of shit I like. So people know Angela Rye from being on CNN as an analyst, but she's also an attorney. So people know her, but you may not know Bakari Sellers. Some people didn't know Bakari. He was actually on CNN currently, is like doing some different work. And I said he was also a political analyst last week. But that's not all he does. He does have a podcast that I love called Viewpoint with Bakari Sellers. So if you're into podcasts, you're listening to this, so you might be interested in podcasts. But he is from South Carolina. That's how I kind of came to know of him. But when he was 22 years old, he ran for a state representative position, and he became one of the youngest members of the South Carolina state legislature and the youngest African-American elected to office in the nation. So you talking about making history. I mean, if you don't know this man on the grounds of just that being the youngest African-American member in the nation, elected to office in the nation, representing South Carolina, that is something to just have note of. And he is also a progressive thinker. So I want to talk about that. But the third person I spoke of was Nina Turner, because all three of these people have more progressive politics in common. And someone asked me what that meant. But Nina Turner hails from my home state of Ohio. And not just that, she was elected to Cleveland City Council. I'm from Cleveland, y'all know. So maybe that's why I'm kind of know of her. And but she worked a lot with Bernie Sanders on his campaign when he was racing in the race against Hillary. I know not a lot of people were Bernie fans, and they were Hillary fans. But, you know, she worked with Bernie, and that, you know, told me a lot about Bernie, because, you know, more progressive politics. And so she is now working in the Senate, well, as the minority whip for the General Assembly. I believe she continues to hold a Senate seat, but she was working in the United States Senate. She's a senator from Ohio. So Nina Turner, Bakari Sellers, Angela Rye. And then I want to talk about what it means to be a progressive in politics, a progressive thinker. This kind of came out of an era where we needed a change in our history of politics. So a lot of people start talking about the progressive movement, and they think of this in the late 1980s and early 1900s after the Great Depression, where we needed some real change because we saw a lot of problems caused by industrialization, urbanization, immigration, and corruption in government. Now, let's take those four things. Let's run those things back. If I could have a rewind sign real quick. I said this happened in the late 1890s, early 1900s, right before the Great Depression. The four issues were industrialization, urbanization, immigration, and corruption in government. Does that sound familiar? I think it sounds very familiar to fucking what's happening right now today. So many progressives, they are just really against the machine. that is trying to be corrupt in government and that is against establishment and just really giving some things back to the people, which we know that right now this government, and I told y'all to watch what this administration was doing. I think I said that like 3 episodes ago. It's a lot of shit that's happening right before our eyes. And then before we know it, we see the horrors of it. So as we go forward to the midterm, we just finished the primary. Be looking for people that have a progressive stance in politics, because those are going to be the people that is raging against this machine of, you know, corrupt policies and issues with immigration, urbanization, things that, you know, we are seeing right now that this administration is currently doing. They want to eliminate those problems. And I feel like, you know, we just need to be on top of who we're voting for in the midterm and knowing like who has our issues at heart. And if Nina Turner, Bakari, or Angela say they okay, I'm gonna tell y'all they are okay. I'm gonna tell you I'm gonna vouch for them and vouching for those people that are on the ballot. And if you don't believe me, listen to the podcast, do some research yourself. But definitely know the candidates that are coming up on this midterm election, because this is going to be an important one. That brings us right to our next segment, Imperfect Union. And honestly, I feel like they were a celebration, so I didn't want to add them to this particular segment. And knowing that, you know, them being more progressives and wanting some social reform and change in this imperfect union, I just couldn't add them to this segment. I wanted to kind of celebrate them and let us know that, you know, they are the ones that's working for us, not against us, unlike some of the other people that I will not mention on this show. But the Supreme Court showed up last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago. They made a decision, but I spoke to it last week. And here we are again, another week with another Supreme Court decision. And this one doesn't directly affect the LGBTQIA community. It affects us all. Some more than others, especially if you're a small business owner, or if you are a person like me who loves to shop online. I don't know if you've heard about the new internet tax, but the U.S. Supreme Court has announced their decision in a case that started in South Dakota versus Wayfair. I don't know about y'all, but I love me some Wayfair. A lot of the furniture and accessories and little things that I have in my new home come from Wayfair. Even in this home, I bought a couple carpets, some different things. But this internet tax will affect us all, especially if we're buying things offline from a business that does not reside in the state that we live in, which I think is some bullshit. I like to shop on eBay. I like to shop on Amazon. And a lot of that shit, as we know, come from China. And if you've been paying attention to anything in politics lately, 45 is waging a crazy war with tariffs and trade deals. And it's just gotten kind of out of control. We are going to be the ones to suffer. Let's just say that, because, you know, the fucking billionaires and people like that, I'm not going to say they won't suffer, but, you know, the little people are the ones who get the brunt of the most force, and we are the ones that have to pay the cost, especially when it comes to something like this, which could be seemingly small, but it becomes a burden to us where we have this additional tax on items that we're purchasing off the internet. I don't know if anybody has been paying attention, but I was happy to see that net neutrality did not pass and they cannot slow our internet down. But I guess they said, okay, we'll get these motherfuckers a different way. They're paying for things online and they're not paying an additional tax. And I just want to know where this tax is going, who it is going to, and why it's needed. Because I know at the end of my receipt, I see a sales tax at the end of the receipt. So in addition to that, we're going to have another tax. This is something that I definitely will continue to watch very closely to see how it's going to impact not only me, but, you know, other people, especially being someone who is starting their own company and people that I know having direct relationships with, friends that have small businesses that do purchase things, or you can purchase things from them from online and may not be in the state where you're paying your state tax to or your sales tax to. So it's going to be an additional tax on top of that tax, which I'm just like, do they need to take more fucking taxes? I mean, let's just be honest. Where does that money go? I'm just wondering about that. But apparently they feel like we do live in a capitalist society, so I have to remember that. And they are always looking to make more money. But allegedly they are feeling like, and when I say they, states are arguing that they're losing lots of money because these unique vendors that are online, which I think that's what makes America great, right? Somebody has come up with a new creative way to do something. That's the American way, right? But nope, capitalism must take precedence. We must figure out a way, the establishment, not we meaning me, must figure out a way to first get paid off of that. And they say they're losing out on like $33 billion a year without having this additional tax. So I just want to know, if they getting this additional tax, I want to see my tax dollars as a tax paying citizen. I want to see them going to work for me on things that are like the roads in my town. Cleveland, baby, let's get them roads paved. It's a lot of things. Let's get the parks and recreations. Like, let's have facilities for the young folks to go to, because I don't see my tax dollars going to work on the issues that I care about. Just more deep pocket type shit where people getting paid the 1%, the 2% of Americans that don't care nothing about us. Those are the people that I feel like this is going to benefit, and not the small business owner, and definitely not the consumer that's purchasing the products. That's just another part of this imperfect union. They are always trying to squeeze another fucking dime out of the middle class, the working person, or even the poor. I mean, we figured out a way to get shit for cheap. We can order shit straight from China these days off of eBay, and get it for the low low. But now they realize that they like, baby, we need to tax that too, honey. We need to tax that on top of the tax that you paying to the state, and on top of the tax that you're paying to the feds, on top of the tax that we might get from you at the end of the year if your shit doesn't stay in the black and you end up in the red, like sometimes I do, not having kids. But that's, I digress. Tax on top of tax on top of tax, honey. And now here we come with this internet tax. They always got something for us. But on a more positive note, in this segment of our imperfect union, some people trying to make it a more perfect and just union. And baby, down in Fulton County, Georgia, right outside of Atlanta, I don't know if you heard about this sister circle. I'm gonna call it the sister circle in Fulton, honey. That justice system is full of black women, baby. Full of black women. The article I read was called United Shades of America. I love the shade, honey. The Shades of America, where this entire justice system is run by black women. If you haven't heard about it, check it out. But all sisters doing great things. The chief judge is a sister, Tiffany Sellers. The interim police chief, Sheila Rogers. A solicitor, LaDawn Jones. Baby, she called LBJ. That's her nickname, Jones. The public defender, a sister to Vivica Powell. The court administrator, Lakeisha Cofield. Chief court clerk, Ramona Howard. I love how they all got like black ass names. Black ass names. Lakeisha, Ramona, LaDawn. The court clerk, Tiffany Kinslow and Carrie Stevens. And never forget that great win we had in Atlanta. I know this is right outside Atlanta in Fulton County, but let's not forget Miss Keisha Bottoms, who is the mayor of Atlanta, honey. She is also in the news trying to make this imperfect union just a little bit more just and perfect. And she decided that she was no longer going to accept any of the detainees, and she wrote up an executive order, the detainees that have been stopped at the border. If you haven't heard, you know, 45 is ripping families apart at the border. I think I spoke to that two episodes ago, where I was saying, just pay attention to these politics and policies, and don't be fooled by the propaganda, baby, because they talking about what we now know is not a Democrats that are doing it. But that was his zero tolerance policy he put into place. And just like he put it into place, he could right his wrong by signing an executive order of his own and changing that policy, which we now know he has done. But Miss Lakeisha Bottom said not in her state of Atlanta. I mean, not in her city of Atlanta. It's not happening here. They will not be sending people here to the jails, and not for a cause she did not believe in. She talked about Atlanta's legacy of inclusion, compassion, and tolerance. And we know, child, Atlanta is probably the second or third gayest city in America. So she better talk of inclusion, compassion, and tolerance, baby, because or else the girls would be coming for her if she did not. But that's just not something she believes in. And as a sister, we already know she got enough pressure of being mayor of that city. But that was a great victory for us as black women. And then in a state and city that we know the LGBTQIA community dominates. I mean, we are everywhere. We are doing great things, movers and shakers in that Atlanta metro area. So, I just wanted to mention Miss Keisha Bottoms along with all the other sisters in Fulton County, Georgia that are doing great things. The third and final thing I wanted to talk about in this segment, I don't know if y'all heard it because I did not hear about this gubernatorial race, and I have to say gubernatorial kind of slow. In Maryland, of course, I'm paying attention to the South Carolina gubernatorial race. I talked about that one last time when I went to vote. But in Maryland, honey, we have us, one of the family members in the race. His name is Rich Medalino, I believe. Chuck, get me together if I did not say that right, but I will spell it M-A-D-A-L-E-N-O. But he is running, and if he wins, he will become the first gay, first of all, out. Let's make that clear, because, honey, we know they meet up in bathroom stalls and things of that nature. These politicians be wanting, honey, other things other than them, their wives that they lay with at night if they go home with them at night, child. But he will be the first out gay man voted into office in Maryland or any state in the nation, if he is elected governor. And there is another mention here. There is another openly gay man that's running for governor in the state of Colorado. I just want us all stay up on politics, especially when it's our family members running, honey, when we know they're going to have our issues and our best interests at the front and center of their decision making. I think it's important. So if you're out there, you're in Maryland, you're in Colorado, just know we stand with you. And if you're not, just know that they're out there making decisions that they're taking to the highest level of their state as a governor and then taking that shit to Washington. So hopefully we can get these people elected. But I wanted to mention Rich because these last three times I've been getting good commercials that I just love to analyze and play for y'all. And Rich gave us a really good one as he is running this race, and he's making it known that he is not for that Trump shit, nothing about it. And I wanted to play just you know how I am. I only could play a snippet of these commercials, child, because I ain't trying to get in trouble. But I do want to play it so y'all can hear it. But I'm going to come back to you and say, because you may or may not catch it at the end, but I don't want to give it away. So listen close.
I'm Rich Madaleno. I'm running for governor to deliver progressive results and to stand up to Donald Trump. Here are a few of the things I've done that already infuriate him. I protected Planned Parenthood from the Republicans in Congress.
Take that, Trump.
I helped ban assault weapons in Maryland.
Take that, NRA.
I believe in public schools, not vouchers.
Take that, Trump.
And Betsy DeVos.
Yeah!
And what's the number one way I piss off Donald Trump and the Republicans? Take that, Trump.
So y'all have to see this commercial and look it up. Madaleno for governor. Take that. But at the very end, honey, baby, ciao. Madaleno kissed his man right on the lip in his campaign ad, honey. Take, and then he said, take that, Trump. He was not playing with those girls. He wants them to know I'm openly gay. I'm proud. I'm here for it. And even in my campaign ads, we're not hiding it. We're not ashamed. We're not afraid. Take that, Trump. We are here and we are going to stand against all of this bullshit and hypocrisy that you have in this White House. So I was like, oh my God, I'm so proud. I don't know how I missed that one. As always, I gotta keep my ear to the street because it be shit just getting by, sliding by. And of course, I don't live in Maryland, but I do try to stay up on politics. As I try to continue to inform you guys, I have to make sure I'm in the know, baby. Beyonce say, stay information. And I like to say, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. But I just really like that, and letting everybody know the LGBT community. And it's, we've come so far with victories and with marriage. There's different anti-discrimination laws. And, you know, it's so much that we have to pay attention to that's riding. Last week we talked about the cake shop owner, and we want to make sure that we have politicians and governor races or even Senate seats or House of Representative seats that are going to have our issues at heart. And that's the main message here. So governors have a lot of say in your states. You may not know that, but they do. And now to know that we have two openly gay men running for office in Colorado and in Maryland, I think that is a victory for our community. So remember, if you're in Maryland or Colorado, you're voting for Rich Madaleno in Maryland. And if you're in Colorado, you want Jared Polis, I believe, or Polis is how you pronounce his name. Get me together if I did not say that correctly. So remember in November who to vote for. And guys, remember, progressive, Democrats are the ones that have our issues, not necessarily Democrats, but you want to make sure that they're progressives, because in LGBTQIA, we know that there are some Democrats that don't have our best interests, especially when it comes to some of the evangelical Christians, or, you know, when that religious piece come into play, they don't stand with us. Let's just be real. So stay in the know. We have come to my favorite part of the podcast, our Pride and Prejudice segment. And I try to do my best when I do my outlines and just think about the content I'm going to deliver for the week to make sure it's relevant for our culture, not just for women, not just for Blacks, African Americans, or brown people, but definitely our LGBTQIA community. Just because I feel like it's not much out there that speaks to us, speaks to our issues, or just speaks to us, period. Like just saying, yeah, girl, I get that. I know exactly what you're going through. Or, hey, this is something I've experienced. We don't really have that platform for our issues, our experiences, or just for our lifestyle, period. We are usually somebody's segment or sidebar conversation. So I like to kind of keep things relevant for our culture altogether. And I hope I've been doing a good job at that. I do want to speak to Virgil Abloh and his debut for Louis Vuitton as their new creative director for the men's collection. I don't know if anyone saw the fashion show this weekend. But Virgil, who we probably all know from working with Kanye, and I hope that that didn't like overshadow the real, I feel like what I felt was the real message in his work, in his art, in his collection. First of all, it's Pride Month, and Virgil, did it big, like on a huge scale, and created a runway that was a rainbow. So if you didn't know that he was going to bring us a diverse collection and honor and pay homage to June being Pride Month, baby, you knew that once you sat down or got a visual from whatever drones they had flying overhead, because they had that whole runway as a rainbow, and I live for it. I thought that was extremely just clever, and I wanted to just be like a little tear fall from my eye and just say he did it for the culture. But I don't know if Virgil is gay. I mean, I'm not going to put that on his name, but if he is, I'm so happy he is able to, you know, just live and walk in his truth and start with his first major fashion show under this line, and just boom, bitch, that go a big ass rainbow catwalk, and I'm having men of color walk the runway. I mean, it was an extremely diverse cast of characters that was walking in his show. I don't know if you guys had a chance to see it, but I would definitely check it out. I just wanted to mention that because, of course, dope pieces. We love fashion. Of course, the girls always stay up on fashion. If you look at the different ballroom scenes and different things, a lot of times these houses, these huge houses like Chanel, Louis Vuitton, all of them have someone on the side that is one of us, that's family, that keeps them in the know and keeps them relevant. To just being honest, girls, we are the culture that they seek to us, that they get their inspiration from a lot of the time. So the pieces were cute or whatever, but I was just here for that rainbow ass runway in the middle of Pride Month. I thought that was dope. So Virgil, hats off to you for just saying it's Pride Month. I'm paying homage to the LGBTQ community and diversity on the runway with just pure sea of brown and black, Asian, I can't even say where all of those guys were from, but they were of color and they killed it. So hats off to Virgil. I'm not talking about that other guy that he hugged at the end of the show, just because that wasn't the point. The next piece is, I couldn't help myself for Pride and Prejudice. And this is just having so much pride, all of this positivity this week. The Red Table Talk, are y'all into that with Jada and Willow and her mom? Or Jada's mom, not Willow's mom, of course. Jada is Willow's mom. But you know what I'm talking about. But her Red Table Talk this week was with EJ and Cookie Johnson. Bitch, EJ gives me life. If y'all don't follow him on Instagram, he is child, the fashion, the face. Bitch, he is walking and living his authentic self, honey. And if you had any questions about that, watch Red Table Talk with him and his mom, where they were just talking openly about, you know, raising a child. First of all, he's a celebrity child. And then him being gay, openly gay. And when his mom knew, she knew ever since he was a kid, just like most of us, our parents know. And just how they dealt with that. And then how his dad being in sports, and we know there are gay guys in sports, but that is an industry where you have to be super masculine. And here he is, this masculine guy with this gay son, and how he dealt with it, or how he didn't deal with it for a while, but then took time and, you know, still loving up on his son anyway. But it was a really cute episode. I'm not going to be here like giving all the secrets away about Jada's show. Instead, I'm telling y'all, go and watch it and support her, and definitely support our girl EJ Johnson, who continues to slay us every time she graces us with her presence, bitch, from head to toe. And she did not fail when she came on that show, baby. Looks for days. I just wish I could have an ounce of courage that she has in some of the decisions she makes with her fashion. I'm a little bland and blah, but you know, I try to get cute here and there. But child, the looks she gives every time I see her on the internet is always killing. Fashion killer, bitch. I'm dead, okay? And she held no hunches. She did not hold back while she was on that show with Jada and her mom, even in front of her mom. Child, the girl killed it. I think it's a real pertinent conversation in our community, talking about parental support and just needing that parental support, but also understanding that your parents were there to protect you and not, you know, be there to just guide you. And that was what they were doing the entire time for him. So check out that episode. And the other thing that I wanted to say something about during this segment of Pride and Prejudice, like I said, there's so much positivity going on this week with Pride. I don't know if we saw the Vogue magazine. It was like a short video with Hennessy Carolina and Michelle Diaz. If you don't know who Hennessy is, you must live under a fucking rock. But she is Cardi B's little sister. I had no idea who Michelle was. But now I know that's her girlfriend. But they shared a little story. Vogue covered them and did a video, maybe like a minute, 30 seconds long. They both have it up on their Instagrams. If you haven't seen it, go to IG, check out their Instagram to look at it, or just go to Vogue magazine. But Vogue followed them for a day and just walked with them as they went shopping for Pride to get ready for New York Pride, which is a huge event. I went 2 years ago, and it probably was the best pride I ever attended. The most diverse pride, of course, that I've ever attended, because I usually had to go to Black Pride and then go to a White Pride, which is not really a White Pride. It's supposed to be Pride, just period, but it's usually a White Pride. And if you are in one of the cities like Charleston or even Cleveland, where I'm from, some of these smaller cities, they with not a lot of diversity, we usually have a Black Pride and a White Pride. That might be news to some folks, but other people, y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. But in New York being such a diverse city and large city and having so much history, I mean, the pride there, and I was right there in Greenwich, and I was there on the parade route. Like, I was totally immersed in everything that it could give me. And I was down at the pier. I just did everything. That was 2 years ago. And when Obama legalized same-sex marriage, I was there for that moment, like literally crying on Greenwich Village, in Greenwich Village, right there on that main street of where the parade route goes, and just got the newspaper. Like, I cannot believe this just happened. And it was a rainbow flag over the newspaper with the Supreme Court when they were doing things right in the background with the rainbow over it. So pride is huge in New York and in other cities. I'm not going to act like New York has the best pride, but to me, that has been the best one that I went to. And Vogue just followed them around as they went shopping. It was so, so cute. Hennessy is young. She's young, 22. I'm not really sure how old her girlfriend is, but they're just the cutest little baby dykes. And this is one time where I'm going to use the word, I'm sorry, because it's just so appropriate. And they're doing the traditional lesbian shit of moving in together. They already, I feel like, did what the article say, they were like been together for a year. First of all, they met online. I'm not going to shame anybody that met online, because that's how me and my girl met. This is a different age. We're living in a digital age, and it could just happen like that. You can find somebody online. Not always. You got to go through a lot of shit to get to your sugar. Yes, honey, they are doing typical lesbian shit. They already live together after a year. They done got two dogs, honey. Basically, you might as well say in the gay life, they married already, even though they're not married. But it's such a cute little story and a cute video. If you didn't know that Hennessy was gay, I don't know how you could have missed that. Cardi reps too for the LGBTQ community. And I mean, I felt like she was always repping so hard because she knew her sister was one of the family. So check that out if you haven't seen it. It's so cute. And I love to see lesbians highlighted, because we are usually the ones that never get any recognition. The gays, the girls, they always get all of the recognition, honey. And it's time for us lesbians to come to the forefront and let y'all know how we live our life. I mean, besides moving in together after 2 weeks of knowing each other, you know, we got to do better with that. not every lesbian, because it's taken me and my boo 2 years to do this. So, you know, some of us, we take time. And I'm an old head. You know, I was raised at a different time period. I told y'all, cut from a different cloth. 80s babies, well, 70s babies, 80s raised me. Just a different set of standards. But yeah, I love that little story. So check it out in Vogue magazine, or go to their Instagram pages and you'll find it there. And to round out Pride and Prejudice, I hope y'all have continued to watch Pose and My House, because it just keeps getting better and better with every week. And I'm not here to do any type of summary or critique of the show. I'm just here to tell y'all to support it. They are actually putting queer stories on TV, and like I feel like they're doing a good job of representing the ballroom culture the right way. Especially, you can't go wrong with My House because it is a documentary, a docu-series. So they're giving you the real, raw, uncut. And where Pose, I feel like whoever created it, they did their research, they did their homework, and they're getting it right based on how the ballroom culture grew during the early 80s time period. And I am learning so much. I'm not going to be one of those people that sit up here and act like I know everything about being gay because I'm gay. I don't. It's a culture within the culture within the culture. I think I've said that before. And we need to understand each other so that we can better support one another. So that's another reason why I do this. And, you know, some of that catty little shit we have going on in our community, we have to do better. We have enough people that is against us and what we do to for us to be against each other. Let me get that out. So just let's do a better job. And one of the things I like to do is just, I'm a learner, a lifelong learner. And honey, I am ready to get the tea on where the next ball is being held. So I'm asking all of my listeners to be on the lookout and keep your ear to the streets, as I say, because I am ready to go to a ball. Now, I ain't ready to walk in the ball, but I do have a better understanding of the ballroom culture, and I know what to expect from the different houses, the performance, the runway, the fashion, the face. I'm telling you, when I think about like some of the houses, when we talk about fashion houses, a lot of it, I just see so many parallels, and we just have been left behind, and they haven't given us credit for any of that shit. But we were doing that shit long before some of the houses, like we know, just let's say Louis Vuitton or Chanel, some of the bigger names were doing it. So I am in love with these two shows, and I'm ready to go to my first ball. I just want to put that out there. So to all my listeners, hook me up, hook a girl up. Let me know. You know which area I'm in. I'm in the South Carolina, North Carolina area, but that does not mean I won't travel. Atlanta is just a hop, skip, and jump away. Stone's throw away. I'll be moving to Charlotte next week. And let's see what else I have close to me. Jacksonville. I'll be in Cleveland at the end of July. And I know Cleveland and Detroit, for some reason, we have our own little kiki scene up there, which I wasn't privy to. I'm telling you, this ballroom culture is like a secret society. You have to be invited in. So, bitch, I need an invite. I'm telling everyone, somebody vouch for me. I want an invite. I want an invite. So just letting that be known. And with that, I'm at the end of the show, y'all. I think I did it in under an hour. I think I talked too much, but whatever. That's why I'm doing the podcast. So closing with this week's quote, if I can get that out right, closing with this week's quote, it comes from Brené Brown. If you don't know who she is, look her up. But she's another writer, and I love her writing. She is one that Oprah loves to quote as well. But I just think about EJ and, you know, some of the things I learned about him in Red Table Talk, and even Willow and growing up and with her mom and dad, and Jaden too, because Jada spoke to that. I thought this would be a very fitting quote for all of us, as we all have been given more time, and we all are saved to say it, saved to speak our truth. So here's a quote from Brené Brown. Loving ourselves through the process of owning our story is the bravest thing we'll ever do. So until next week, peace. That's our show for this week. Hopefully someone walked away with something meaningful and a better understanding of the topics we discussed. Remember, I'm going to keep grinding and keep hustling to give you this dope content. If you have questions, remember, legit questions, you can always send those in to social@beingfrankmedia.com. Again, that's social, S-O-C-I-A-L, at Being Frank Media. You can now find this podcast on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and Public Radio, y'all. Your girl doing her thing. Remember to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Being Frank Media, where you can be bold, honest, and unmistakable. Peace.